Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you are one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be entitled to disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from a physical or mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there is no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. To get started with your free no-obligation consultation, call 800-504-1639. That's 800-504-1639. There are a vast number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many that you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today. Again, that's 800-504-1639. 800-504-1639. That's Citizens Disability. 800-504-1639.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Now over to Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs all around the world. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Our guest today is Eric Espinoza. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good. How are you
CEO
doing?
CEO and founder of Do Good Mafia.
Yes.
Which they actually do good. The name was a joke, right,
to begin with? Yes, it started as a joke.
You're making fun of the mafia here?
Making fun of the mafia, making fun of the social do-gooders.
And what you do is you redistribute food that's being wasted to homeless people and people who are hungry.
Correct.
Tell me how you do that.
Well, we create an incentivized system which individuals at markets or businesses are able to then take goods from these places and straight to a nonprofit that's along their route wherever they're going.
So you're a social entrepreneur and doing good along the way. You make money too, right?
I mean, yes.
At some point, otherwise. Well, you could do it on your own. Mm-hmm. How did you take this seriously? How do people take this? What's your pitch to people to redistribute food?
Well, our pitch is you could do good and earn money as well. So we built a system in which individuals or these businesses, they're earning massive tax breaks, so it offsets their costs. And they're, wow, this is an amazing opportunity. We're doing good, and it's not costing us money. We're actually earning money back in return. That's literally how we approach them, and they really, really love being able to do that.
You're an entrepreneur, and entrepreneurs come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. How'd you come up with this one? Did you witness it somewhere, or?
Well, definitely witnessed it in several places. One is actually having been homeless once
you
myself.
Were homeless,
And that was a big learning experience and seeing what it was like to be in a shelter, having gone into them and seeing their process of what they need and how they service their groups. And that was a big thing to actually be witness to, is seeing that they don't need bread, they need produce. They don't need soda, they need water. They need all these different things. It's, you know, just think of a homeless person as just like you and I. They're human beings. And, you know, we need to have
green. Had a bad break.
And they had a bad break. And, you know, it's only a little moment of time in their life that they're in this situation. We need to get them out. But at the same time, they're, you know, they need to eat vegetables. They need to eat well, too.
How did you, were you thinking about this while you were homeless? I mean,
it was not thinking so much about it, but kind of
take
like
a note, mental note.
Mental
like
note.
If I ever get out of here.
I've always jokingly said I'm an efficiencies freak, mm-hmm. and just seeing like, wow, this could kind of be done better. But it was never like, you know, that moment, I'm going to go do this, because being homeless, that was 6 years ago. And we've been doing this for the last year and a half. But it was seeing like, wow, these are things, seeing all the disconnects and mm-hmm. how we could really connect things and make them easier for everyone involved.
So how do you become a distributor? You're 18 months into it. You should know a few of the tricks by now.
You'd have to have your value proposition to all the key players that you're working with. For us, our key ethos is we have to have three groups that are really benefiting from us. So we have the nonprofits, we have the businesses, and then we also have the homeless, or not even just the homeless. We also service animal shelters as well. A lot of people don't even think that, you know, animals need food too. It's kind of surprising the gamut of just different groups and realizing how all these groups, what they need, and then addressing their problems effectively.
How much of a problem Or is it? Because once you get organized, it may not be. To get these massive amounts of food that's about to be wasted, mm-hmm. get it into a truck or into somebody else's hands. I mean, how many steps from here to there, from A to B?
It's surprisingly not a lot, because the way that we operate is we make this kind of like if you think of Lyft or an Uber, it's on demand, on call. So we're not moving a giant pallet at a time. It's literally kind of small bags that an individual could carry 2 at a time, 3 at a time, 4 at a time. But it's really fast and seamless. So the moment is the business checks the food in, person is notified to pick it up, they pick it up, they take it to the nonprofit, and they're done.
So it's easier than it sounds.
Yes. Yeah. It's literally like going to a market.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien, Eric Espinoza. What are the three biggest problems in becoming an entrepreneur starting from scratch?
Understanding your market, I think, is the big one. You have a really great idea, but you need to understand the market and if it really is going to work. I think that's problem number one. Being realistic with the expectations of time would probably be number two, because it probably will take much longer than you anticipate.
And you're not making money while you're
not making money.
You are.
And then also, I jokingly say, and this is what my uncle taught me, is being comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's going to be very uncomfortable of a process, and you have to kind of account for that as well. And so it's kind of understanding your market, and then realizing how long it's going to take and how you're going to be spending money. And the idea is you're going to spend money to make money. And then you're gonna be working a lot.
They say there are no new ideas, but you're involved in a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. Things, redistributing food. You're involved in the mayor's office, Mayor Garcetti downtown, in Innovations for Los Angeles. How hard is it to get those ideas across to nonprofits and people that have the trucks and the money and the spaces and that sort of thing?
It's rather difficult. We also kind of say is the idea that we're innovating the wrong stuff, and also we have to be reevaluating what we're creating as far as innovations. And so we have to really speak plainly to the groups that we're working with. And in a sense, we have to make innovation unsexy. It's a very mm-hmm. sexy thing, and we kind of say we're going to change the world or anything like that. But it boils down to a lot of times is, are we saving people money? Are we earning people money? What is the value proposition for these groups?
So the pitch is really the most important part of this thing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And the free food. But I mean,
free
the pitch,
food.
Yeah.
But just everything in general is you have to boil it down to its simplest when you're interfacing with any group just in general.
Now, Eric Espinoza is our guest. He's a social entrepreneur. Is it harder to be a social entrepreneur? and I'm not saying entrepreneurs do bad, but doing good all the time.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's a really interesting place to be in. I think it's a lot easier now than it was in the past, because you had the idea of a social entrepreneur being someone from the nonprofit sector, which then that itself has a negative look on too, is because the word nonprofit, but you can still make lots of money.
Is there really such a thing as a nonprofit?
If they're done correctly, then yes.
Okay.
And it should be, but you can still make that. You can still be wealthy and
yeah,
be a
exactly.
nonprofit.
And still do good.
And still do good.
That's the name, do good mafia.
Exactly. And so it's kind of where we're trying to dip ourselves in both worlds and saying, yes, you could be a social entrepreneur, do good, you could earn money, you could do things. What we really try to highlight is the scalability of ideas.
It's such an interesting business because you're helping people eat. There are 50 million people in poverty or in hunger, and there's mm-hmm. more hungry people in the world. Do you ever want to not do this because it's too much work?
Admittedly, yeah. To be honest, there's moments where I was like, I would want to go apply for this really cool 9-to-5 job. But at the end of the day, it's, there's passion that really pulls you in. And, you want to be a contributor to doing something wonderful. And I always think of a quote from Jim Henson. And he says, when I was young, I always wanted to be someone who made a difference in this world. And it's my hope to leave the world a better place for having been a part of it. And just kind of thinking of those things, it's like I could just help be a contributor to being a part of this world and hopefully making a better place.
By the way, you're sitting on Jim Henson's property.
Oh, amazing.
So that's, that's the serendipity there. When you look back at it, what were the three toughest things for you to get past?
Definitely my bout of homelessness. That was really difficult. And
called it about?
About.
it was. Make a laugh, but that's.
It's. But
you
it
were
was,
homeless.
It was homeless, and yeah. and understanding what that issue was like. It's very unfortunate. It's a huge mental health issue. There's addiction that's attached to it, not for myself, and there's other individuals that were victims of circumstance, like I was. But understanding it's a huge, lots of nuances.
So you had a
to
personal
it.
Problem that you
personal
had to get
problem.
Through.
Correct, and then also the getting people on board is actually rather difficult. Really good people.
Convincing them.
Convincing.
That redistributing food that's already there.
Oh, I would even before that is even your employees. Too is getting the right match of individuals that you want to be working with, because you have to create a culture. And what do you stand for as an individual and as a company, and do those values align mm-hmm. with the individuals that you're bringing in?
What's the culture around the Do Good Mafia?
Well, we believe
you came up with a name.
Absolutely. No, I think of it's we always do these exercises, but it's for us, it's we have to be transparent, we have to be honest about our intentions. And we believe in doing everything with integrity and empathy, because we believe in viewing the people we serve with empathy and integrity, and to understand what the problems are. And we want to be held to that light as well.
Eric, it's a pleasure knowing you.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs all around the world. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. We'll see you next time.
This is the story of the shaving company called Harry's. In an epic battle of David versus Goliath, in the early 1980s, a child was born. Two of them, actually. Their names were Jeff and Andy. Time went by, they developed facial hair, and one day, something happened. Andy got ripped off buying overpriced razors. So they decided to start their own shaving company and fix shaving once and for all. They hired the best designers, they bought a 95-year-old German blade factory, and they started selling high-quality razors online with no upcharging direct to customers. How did the overpriced razor company respond? By threatening to sue their pants off. Don't worry, Jeff and Andy have plenty of pants and a relentless dream to give all guys a great shave at a great price.
Try Harry's free. They'll send you a razor with 5 German blades, foaming shave gel, and even a travel blade cover when you sign up. Just cover shipping. Plus, get a free post-shave balm at checkout with code 1717. That's harrys.com, code 1717. To get your free trial set.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam for my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Now, the club for Biz Talk Radio listeners and your biz. The Biz TV Club is where you can watch some of your favorite Biz Talk Radio hosts and others on the go, on demand, on Android, desktop, Roku, and more. Never miss an episode of your favorite Biz TV shows and have the 24/7 Biz Talk Radio stream at your fingertips. Watch anytime, anywhere for just $5.95 a month with a free trial by using promo code RADIO. Go to bizradioclub.com.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-635-4993. That's 800-635-4993. Call now at 800-635-4993 to get a free brochure. 800-635-4993.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. Tell us, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Jennifer Johnson, and I'm co-founder of Hip Chick Farms.
Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And I'm Serafina Palandek. I'm the other half, the other co-founder of Hip Chick Farms.
Well, it's a good thing you said your name, because I don't think I could have said it.
President.
That's right. So what does your guys' company do? I know it's organic chicken nuggets, right? Anything else to add on to that? Did I just kind of take it? Organic chicken nuggets.
Just okay, that's it. Here's what we like to say is that every kid loves a chicken nugget, and every parent is suspicious of what goes into a chicken nugget.
Does that make me still a kid then?
Yes. So our story really goes back about 25 years. Jen's a chef and has been chefing out of the culinary school. She went to Chez Panisse with Alice Waters, really kind of one of the foundation points of the farm-to-table movement, all about making simple food beautifully made.
And then I cooked there for 10 years, and I was a sous chef. And then from there, I went to Ann and Gordon Getty's private home in San Francisco, and was their private chef for 16 years.
So you're the creator behind all of this?
I definitely am. Definitely the creator, and she's the brains behind it.
So we wanted to start a family. We have a child, and we have a farm. So we really wanted to live our beliefs around sustainable food systems, and we thought, let's take Jen's beautiful recipes and transparently source where all of the proteins are coming from, not add any fillers, no preservatives, just make it as clean. It's like she's cooking in the kitchen for you, but make it frozen because families are so busy.
And I know that chefs are kind of poo-poo the frozen food arena, but I'm actually, it's when you heat up the food, it really tastes very fresh, and it preserves it in a really natural state. So we don't have to add all those things to it. And yeah.
What's been the hardest part, do you think, so far in your journey with this business about just getting this whole thing off the ground?
Oh, let's see. One, raising money? Yeah. Fundraising?
There could be a list. Name a few of them.
I know.
And then,
So definitely fundraising was a challenge. Supply chain has been a big challenge for us. There is a limited amount of organic farmers in the country who have the attributes that we require around free range and organic and humanely certified and so forth. So we've grown so quickly, and there's such a huge demand for our product line that really kind of shoring up that supply chain of how we make sure that we have the channel available has been a big challenge for us.
Okay, and for the aspiring entrepreneurs out there who haven't cut the cord from their 9-to-5 yet, what advice do you have for them about maybe when the right time is to get started or things they need to know about when they do get started? Like, for example, a lot of times beginning entrepreneurs underestimate what they can accomplish in a decade and overestimate what they can accomplish in their first year. So what do you have to add?
That's true. I'm extremely grateful that we had no idea how hard it was going to be.
I don't think we would have done it had we known.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah. We just, like, I'm a person that just jumps in and goes for it. And I never take no for an answer. So, you know, I've shared this before, but when we were trying to raise capital, at the time, there weren't very many funds that were focused on the food and ag space. That has changed. That environment has changed a lot in the last 3.5 years. But I would literally, like, sit and Google rich people and call them. Like, I would do anything.
To raise money?
To raise money. Wow. I would call.
Hustler.
Totally. I would cold call frozen food companies. I cold called Amy's Kitchen, and I said, hey, we have a frozen food company. It's not vegetarian. It's a meat. Can you help me? And they did. Like, people are awesome. Wow. Generally, yeah. People are incredibly kind and generous. And so I say just go for it. Say yes to everything, every opportunity that comes your way. Say yes. And, you know, everybody told us we would fail, and we're not. So
how do you develop the mindset, though? And do you feel like both of you have it or just you? Because, I mean, everyone has their lane. So how do you develop that mindset, though, where you reframe the meaning of failure and rejection? Because that's what holds people back.
I think the failure has made Serafina more hungry, actually. It's like the failure, and she just wants to push through to get the yeses. Mm. So I don't think the failure, and she became this withering flower. It was just like, okay, well, that door shut. Now let's go find another door.
It just fuels you for
more. It's like a crucible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think entrepreneurship is a crucible where the fire burns off the excess, and you either stick with your vision, which is we've had many opportunities to take money from the wrong person or to not stand by our values, to buy cheap chicken. Somebody came to us and said, oh, you know, we have chicken breasts for, whatever, 50 cents a pound from God only knows, right? Was it even chicken? We don't know. So it's important. It's made us stick true to our values even more so, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which I think is really important, and values is something that we touched on a little bit.
Yeah.
Values is one of those things that's sort of like the compass and the North Star in a business. The co-founders of Hip Chick Farms are joining us right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. What do you guys want to share? This is your guys' interview. What do you guys want to share right now for the entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs out there? Do you have something that you just feel like they need to know about this? Like you need to be aware, like for yourselves, when you were getting started on the journey, mm-hmm. what is something that you wish you could go back and like tap on your shoulder and be like, hey, you're about to get started. Mm-hmm. I'm 5 years down the road. Mm-hmm. Here's one thing you need to know. What's that one thing? And you maybe each have something different, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for women entrepreneurs, there are significant, I didn't anticipate that there would be as many challenges in fundraising as a woman as we experienced. But it's definitely possible to do it, absolutely.
So I want to stop you right there.
Yes.
I have no idea. Do you, based on the presupposition of what you just said, do you feel that it is harder to raise money as well?
It is, and it's proven. Okay. Like a study just came out like 3 weeks ago about how you know the odds of women raising money is 5% of the 100% of venture capital goes to women.
And then it's crazy.
If you're more diverse than that, like we're an LGBT family, then the odds are like 0.5 cents. Yeah. It's like it's incredibly difficult, but it's possible.
So you guys
it's
won
absolutely
a lot
possible.
Of that.
Yeah,
you guys are a lot of winners.
Yes. So it's perseverance. Definitely here's something is that not to get in front of the money, right? So and to actually prove out your profitability before you jump into it. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's an important, I think, lesson we've
learned.
Before
you go and ask for the money?
Well, we've learned that personally, yes.
Yeah. And we've put as much skin in the game as anybody we've asked to participate, mm-hmm. right? So, like, we've put everything on the line for
our
this
house.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
So I think you have to be willing to do that.
Absolutely. If I'm willing to ask you for money, we should be willing to put in as much as we possibly can,
of course,
too.
Especially in the beginning when it's your first business.
And then I think for me it's also like the relationship building has been incredibly important for us as entrepreneurs because at the beginning you're just selling an idea, right? So getting a factory to take on your product line is just an idea, and you have to develop that relationship in order to get them to grow with you. So we believe in investing in people, and that might mean time and building friendships, having people over, just getting to know each other so that we can build the business together, be mutually successful.
Well, I have a lot of respect for the two of you for sticking it out and grinding through it and falling into that, whatever it may be, and making it up
0.01%
of people who pushed through and made it happen.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with the co-founders of Hip Chick Farms. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Secure Your Farm from Theft. The Successful Farming Radio Magazine is brought to you by Kubota. Where passion meets performance, Kubota can help you achieve more. Kubota, for earth, for life.
I'm the neighbor with the orange tractor. I plant, grow, harvest, haul, and feed. Caring for the land is a responsibility we all share out here. For our families, for ourselves, for us all. This is why I do it. Kubota. Right now, a Kubota M7 can be yours with 0% financing for up to 84 months. Now through May 31st, 2017. Call toll free 1-800-794-4992 for details about cost and terms.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new spicy, crispy Zinger chicken sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up for a limited time. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a hand-breaded Zinger chicken sandwich, wages, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the Zinger in a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-848-2370. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-848-2370. That's 800-848-2370.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute, free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Stars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Jen Johnson. I'm co-founder and head lead chef at Hip Chick Farms.
Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And I'm Serafina Palandek. I'm the other co-founder and president of Hip Chick Farms.
I feel like I want to practice saying your name so I can do it, but I'm not going to do it with the cameras rolling. So we talked about company culture a little bit, and we talked about raising money. I want to talk about the raising money part, but first, let's talk about company culture. How many employees do you have?
So today we have about nine. We have nine staff people.
Okay, and you recently grew, right? You went from like four to nine.
We went from four to nine.
One to four to nine.
Yeah.
Big jumps there. I like that.
And we just closed our Series A.
Congrats.
So we were able to grow our staff, and we will continue to grow our staff.
Well, before we talk about the Series A, let's talk about what you guys are doing now that you have nine people on your team, including yourselves. How are you guys creating an awesome company culture to make sure that it's thriving so you can go from the 1 to 4 to 9 to 12 to 20? What are you guys doing?
Sure. We just did a... So we're a very small company, but we just spent 2 days in our planning retreat, right? Mm-hmm. So what we're really trying to do is build a highly functioning team. And I believe the way to do that is to have everybody's input. Everybody can bring their opinions to the table so we can identify what's working, what's not working. Culturally, I'm a very laid-back... I don't like to micromanage. So we're really looking for team members who can thrive in that environment of like self-motivation and direction.
Okay. So how do you feel like you're participating in creating this fun environment? You're really the mastermind behind the creation of the product.
Right.
So how do you feel like outside of creating the product that everybody's really building this business off of, mm-hmm. how else do you feel like you're contributing, or what are some cool things you guys do for company culture?
I feel like
you're the one making all the food for everybody, I'm sure, at the parties.
the funny thing is that we've gotten the recognition we've gotten has been all about innovation, and you'd think that for a chicken nugget that wouldn't be an innovative product, but I think one of the keys to innovation that Jen brings to the table is innovation through simplicity.
Yeah, and that's how I was trained to...
So you're the Steve Jobs of chicken nuggets.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. You know, I mean, it's called KISS, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah. And it's so applicable to food. It's simply, you know, pulled or raised on the farm, and then it's brought to the table, brought to the kitchen, and simply prepared, and then served to, you know, people to enjoy. So
something awesome about you, and you guys shared this with me before we dove in. You're going to be going where soon? And cooking for who?
Oh, I'm going to the White House. I was invited by President Obama's steward and his lead chef to be a guest chef at the White House October 7th. So we're super excited. I know. We've just finalized the menu. I was on the conference call with the White House the other day, and I'm on Facebook. I'm like, ah, voila! It's
cool,
very exciting. And just before the circus comes to town, I get to cook dinner for President Obama.
What an honor.
Basically.
That'll be super cool if you find some way to leverage that for the brand and be like, the cook behind...
Oh, we already do.
I've got my chef's coat with him. I am fully...
We've got handmade candies on every one of our stickers.
Opportunity I have... Like, I come up with crazy ideas all the time, and so does she, but... Mostly me. And any idea I have, I'll try and leverage into a media opportunity for us, you know, because it's those funny, interesting stories that actually get
sometimes
the press.
It's embarrassing, but it always works. So
I have to
go with it.
You guys say you're coming up with these crazy ideas, lay some on the table. What are they?
Okay, so do you know what a turkey pardon is? Okay, so every year the president of the United States pardons a turkey. They've been doing that since George Bush's presidency.
So the turkey won't be killed.
So the turkey is presented to the president, and then he pardons it, and then it's not killed.
And it has no idea. It has no idea what's going on.
No. So that's actually directed by the National Turkey Federation. So this year,
the National Turkey Federation.
Yes.
Why am I not surprised?
So this year, I'm determined that Ellen DeGeneres, if you're out there, I'm talking to you.
She's out there.
That she should come to our farm and pardon our turkey.
Yeah, and our turkey just had four little babies, so.
And I read
That's a little sad. Never mind.
Yeah. I know. Anyway, whatever. Just various ideas to really reinforce our marketing messages, which is basically our brand identity around chef-driven company or an actual farm, real family farms, you know, homesteading, and humane and transparent ethics and sourcing.
Well, I hope you guys get Ellen to pardon your turkey for you at your farm there. I think
wouldn't that
be
great?
Cool. And leverage it on social media.
Yes, totally. Exactly.
The co-founders of Hip Chick Farms are joining us right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. What are you guys doing on social media? You said that you're going to take this whole White House thing and you're going to leverage it. So what are some other things that you guys do? I feel like you must have some cool little ninja tricks you're doing on social media.
Yeah, we hired a 21-year-old to do it.
Yeah, that's our ninja trick.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, so
hi, Skylar.
We hired interns at the beginning
Brilliant.
Of the year. And
Brilliant.
One of them has just been, so now she's our full-time marketing associate, so she knows all of the tricks of the trade. And then layered on top of that, one of the things we did when we had two strategic investors join our board pre this Series A, and very well connected within the industry, and one of them brought a marketing director from who has this incredible history, background, so Amanda. So Amanda is helping me create strategy, and then Skylar's implementing. And then we're kind of in between, filling some of the gaps there. So that's kind of our marketing strategy. In terms of actual social, we've started working with influencers, which we're really excited about. We've had some targeted. We just started doing actually targeted Instagram ads, and we're just doing pay-per-click. We're just starting. We're just doing the SEO work.
Yeah.
So we're really just starting on that stuff, and the SEO has been, I was surprised by how influential that's been. It's like almost doubled our social in 3 weeks.
Millions of people are searching for stuff. Figure out what those keyword
searches
are.
Search for hip chick farms. Or chicken nugget.
Exactly.
Right? We want to be number one.
Because they're typing in chicken
nuggets.
See,
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
If they're typing in hip chick farms, they're going to find it. But it's when they're typing in chicken nuggets or organic chicken.
Yeah.
And you guys come up for that.
And the targeted pay-per-clicks is fascinating, like how specific you can get on who you target.
So specific.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The fun producers.
Yes. You can get so specific.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing for sales and marketing? I know that that's really your space. So how do you guys make sure that you're generating and converting the types of products and pushing it out that you want to be doing? Because at the end of the day, you're in a noisy space. First, tell me, are you guys selling more brick and mortar online? So how are you selling and what are you guys doing to
continue yourself? So we are 100% in retail. We don't do any online sales. We're not really looking at food service because we're building a brand. So we're only looking at brand identity.
So that's the social media strategy, is all building the brand and awareness of that.
Yeah, and to drive trial. So we're seeking to get into more doors, drive trial, and then convert folks. So I think we have a couple of opportunities. The stores want the products. Mm. That's the good news. So we're getting onto shelves relatively easy. I go out and do sales calls myself all the time. Okay. And then, but our opportunity and challenge is to really get people to buy it. And then folks who don't necessarily shop in the freezer aisle, I think our brand has the potential to be a converter brand. It's a brand that can drive people into the frozen aisle who don't normally shop there.
Okay.
Because they don't actually know. And our job is to educate that our brand is there and the reasons why they should start shopping
and
frozen
demos,
aisle.
And demos in the stores have been really influential for that.
We just haven't
had the finances to really do that. But now, since we got our funding, we have a demo team out there just hitting it hard. Because one, you have to taste it. Mm. I mean, first you see it with your eyeballs, and we have a great package. Our packaging is awesome. Really pops, and then they have to taste it, and then. So.
But I think that's why our brand can become not just a middle-sized brand, but can really turn into a giant brand, is because we have that potential to convert folks.
What do you guys think is going to be the key that's going to push you over the edge to getting to the bigger and bigger and bigger brand?
Well, funding certainly helped.
Funding.
Because we needed the funding behind us to really, do our marketing plan. The funding is all about marketing and infrastructure, right? That's it.
Yeah.
So now that we have that in place, I'm really excited to see where we can go.
It's exciting. I know that if you guys got your Series A, then you continue to go up the ladder. The growth should just be inevitable if you guys are starting to really prove the model,
mm-hmm.
especially in the grocery stores. You just start to duplicate it and take it into all mm-hmm. the stores once it works.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. Kind of shift gears here real quick. I want to know, what is either one of the craziest or one of the funniest things that's happened to you guys in your business endeavor so far? Craziest or funniest?
Crazy. every day?
Yeah, there's always a trust. There's always something. We should write a book. We are writing a book, actually. We're writing a cookbook.
Yeah, we are.
let's see. One of our factories accidentally used cayenne pepper instead of paprika.
On like a 10,000-pound run.
So we have the new product, a spicy
child's,
chicken
kind of a kid's chicken fingers, spicy chicken finger.
We've had all kinds of crazy things happen.
What do you do in a situation like that?
She sold them to somebody else. She sold them as a specialty.
I sold them to a friend of mine that owns a restaurant, and she was more than happy to buy them from me.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
How expensive of a waste would that have been?
A lot.
We've had to
eat a lot of crow. That's for sure.
We one time we bought, I don't know, tens of thousands of pounds of boneless skinless chicken breast, and it had bones and skin in it. That was a bummer.
So what are you doing? Do you ask
you
for
had
a
to throw
refund?
It away.
Did it not?
Yeah.
They don't refund?
I mean, it's a long story, but yes, we lost some money on that.
Wow.
That's what insurance is for. Yeah.
That's some pretty crazy stuff.
What
about a funny one?
Yeah, well,
none of those were funny. Those are all crazy and potentially financially dangerous.
Yes. Yes, I don't know about funny.
You guys, the second I even ask, you start laughing. So you know you've got stories. You just don't want to share them.
I'm sure we have many, many of them. We were recently on a show called West Texas Investors Club.
That was funny.
That was funny. That was an experience. We've had some really funny.
What were you on there for?
It's
like Shark Tank meets Survivor.
Yeah. So again, we were there raising money, and we got a large, got a $500,000 investment on that show as well.
As we come to a wrap, what do you feel like is one word that either describes yourself or your business?
Perseverance. Determined. Yeah.
Perseverance and determined. I love that. Guys, it's been a pleasure having
you
on the show. I'm going to have to check out some of these organic chicken nuggets.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Regardless of your industry, an overworked staff means an underserved clientele. Here are a few business tips for dealing with explosive growth. I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Step one, keeping communication channels open. It's important that you stay in tune with the general tone that the staff has. This includes everybody, not just your managers. Two, promote from within, create staff loyalty and company consistency. Step three, support your managers and your team. Whether you're promoting outside employees or bringing in new talent to expand, make sure that your managers and all your employees have the support they need to do their jobs well. Remember, you hired them in exactly what you want them to do for you. If at all possible, avoid adding more tasks to an already full docket. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
This is the story of the shaving company called Harry's. In an epic battle of David versus Goliath. In the early 1980s, a child was born. Two of them, actually. Their names were Jeff and Andy. Time went by, they developed facial hair, and one day, something happened. Andy got ripped off buying overpriced razors. So they decided to start their own shaving company and fix shaving once and for all. They hired the best designers. They bought a 95-year-old German blade factory. And they started selling high-quality razors online with no upcharging direct to customers. How did the overpriced razor company respond? By threatening to sue their pants off. Don't worry, Jeff and Andy have plenty of pants and a relentless dream to give all guys a great shave at a great price.
Try Harry's free. They'll send you a razor with five German blades, foaming shave gel, and even a travel blade cover when you sign up. Just cover shipping. Plus, get a free post-shave balm at checkout with code 1717. That's harrys.com, code 1717, to get your free trial set.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Mark Lack at the CEO Roundtable.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and this is our CEO Roundtable segment. And as always, joining me are two rockstar CEOs. Tell us, who are you and what do you do?
My name's Emily Webb. I'm CEO of MyLuca, an on-demand private parking app.
You guys are like the Airbnb for parking, right?
You got it.
Thanks for coming.
Stephanie Newby, CEO of Crimson Hexagon, and we're a social media analytics company based in Boston.
Very cool. So what do you do when you work with companies?
So we help them learn what people are saying about their brand or their product or their advertising campaign in social media. We also help them understand who the audience is.
Interesting. I'll be curious to talk with you about how you got into social media. But first question, guys, is I always want to know, what is something that when you got started in entrepreneurship and you didn't really know until you've kind of got, you know, your feet dug in and you've been in it for a few years or a few decades, what is something that you wish you could go back and tell yourself in your first year of entrepreneurship? Start with you, unless you're ready to rock and roll.
I would love to go back and do more due diligence on the agencies and the people that I worked with instead of jumping into opportunities when they first came to me.
That's a good one, because I feel like a lot of people struggle with called squirrel syndrome, where they just see opportunities and they just grab it, and you get into entrepreneurship and you start networking and you meet a lot of people and you're like, oh my gosh, there's opportunities everywhere. And people always ask me, you know, how can I help you? What can I do? And, you know, I'm always like, there's too many opportunities out there. I don't want more opportunities. I just need to keep doing what I'm doing and do more of it. So I love that you brought that up. What about you?
So I think I would get a stronger advisory board right from the get-go, because I think when you first start, you don't know what you don't know. Mm. And so I think it took me longer to figure some things out than it might have if I had a strong advisory board.
That's a good one. I feel like everyone could benefit from something like that. I feel like most people just get started. They're wearing all the hats. They have very few mentors, and the mentors that they might have are probably just the people in the books that they read from. Something that I like, a new twist that I'm kind of putting on this segment, is managing expectations. I feel like it's a topic that's not talked about a lot in entrepreneurship. The unconscious, preconceived, or conscious, you know, expectations from your family, your friends, your clients, your shareholders, your partners. There's so many expectations that people have for us, whether it's conscious expectations, like you know you have to deliver your quarterly results to your shareholders, or you know that you have to deliver the results that your clients engage with you on, or you know that you have to, you know, pay payroll for your employees. So there's a lot of conscious and unconscious expectations in entrepreneurship. How do you manage the expectations from your friends, your family, your partners, your employees, your shareholders, your advisors? How do you manage expectations in your life and in your business? We'll go with you.
Okay, so first of all, this is typically not my problem, because I've always had a rule that I'm not going to promise anything unless I really know I can deliver. So the thing I've had to learn is the opposite, which is you've got
That's
to...
That's how you manage the expectations right there. Is you just said it. You're like, I don't have that problem because there's the answer.
But really, when you're the CEO of a company, you have to be constantly selling the company.
Yeah.
And so you have to talk about the bigger opportunity and all the stuff that you can do that you know... hope that you will be able to do when it comes, you know, when someone says, yes, I want that. I think it's actually a very tricky thing to manage, because you've got to balance that need to be, you know, delivering on all your promises, but at the same time, really being upbeat and marketing and getting people behind the vision that you see for the company.
And so that's the managing. It sounds like you do a good job of managing the conscious expectations by having clear communication and not over-promising anything like that. But I feel like the underlying thing is the unconscious expectations that the employees don't express. Well, you know, they talk behind your back because of things that they think that you should be doing, but you're not doing, but you have no idea. The things that your friends or your family or your husband or your wife or your partner thinks that you should be doing, but you're not doing, and it comes up later in a fight, or it comes up later when you're firing somebody, or it comes up later when there's a problem with your partners or something like that. Oh yeah, but you, and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? We never talked about that. So I'm talking about like the underlying unconscious expectations that people create. So I love that you have a clear strategy for how you manage the conscious expectations. It's the unconscious expectations that I feel like kind of come back to bite us in the butt.
Let's see if Emily does a better job answering that question.
No, you did a great job of the conscious ones. I think a lot of people struggle with that. We'll hear from you in a sec. This is the CEO Roundtable segment. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining us are two rockstar CEOs. We'll do a quick recap for you. Who are you and what do you do?
My name's Emily Webb. I'm CEO of MyLuca, an on-demand private parking app.
And I'm Stephanie Newby, CEO of Crimson Hexagon Social Media Analytics in Boston.
Pleasure having both of you here. You did an awesome job, again, of talking about how you manage the conscious expectations. One that I want to talk about, and I feel like it's talked about a lot at the billion-dollar level, but it's not talked about a lot just in general in life, and that's gratitude. How has gratitude served you in a way that's allowed you to not only increase the quality of your life, but actually perform better in business? Do you have any rituals that you do to stay grateful?
Wow. It's very easy for me to feel a lot of gratitude because, you know, I'm one of those people that grew up with very little money and decided that I wanted to make sure I was financially secure myself, and perhaps became a little bit of what I call a happy workaholic in the process.
As long as you love what you do.
Yes, exactly. That's always a must for me. And so... I never take for granted the position that I've been able to, you know, get myself into and create for myself and my family. So I will say, hey, we're living in paradise.
So you create metaphors that kind of frame the reality in a positive light.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Albert Einstein says everything is relative, law of relativity. And I love that because it reminds me that when I'm looking at something, and maybe it's not serving me in the best way, like, oh, you know, God, I got to pay that much money in payroll. I'm writing, you know, this much money at this age to pay all these people. And then I'll be like, well, I can look at it that way and look at this as a loss of all the money I'm spending, a loss of all the money that I earn, that I have to delegate. Or I can reframe it and be grateful for, you know, I'm in a place where I would have, you know, begged to be in the position I'm in now just a few years ago.
Yes. And also there's a great joy in giving employment to people too.
And that's what I'm saying right there is it just depends on how you look at it. So I love what you said. You create these positive frames and analogies and metaphors that allow you to look at life as a game, look at something as this is a beautiful day. This is this. Well, guys, wish we had more time. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Thank you.
Biz Talk Radio.